This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig Hoffman is in Richmond covering camp for us on 106.7 The Fan. You have been hearing some of his reports in updates that Pete's been playing throughout the morning. Craig, one thing that caught our attention was the anecdote about Cousins coming off the field. Tell that story and break that down for us. What happened?
Yeah, so Kirk on the final drive of the two-minute drill yesterday throws, he leads him down the field. I guess they started the 25 and 2 minutes on the clock, just like your standard two-minute drill would look on Sundays. The only difference is you're not tackling to the ground. So when Jay Gruden blows the whistle, the play is dead, and he gets to decide if a guy was tackled inbounds, out of bounds, whatever. So they get all the way down inside the 20, about the 15-yard line, and Kirk gets pressured on a snap. I believe it was third down, and instead of either taking a sack or throwing it away or whatever, you know, the coaches would want him to do in this situation, he does the one thing that you absolutely cannot do, which is force a ball into the end zone. It gets tipped and Josh Norman dives and catches it. Then coming off the field, I was not amongst the group of reporters. John Kime, Mike Jones, I believe, was over there, a couple others. And then they relayed the story and their reporting said that Kirk walked right past them and said, "This was not my best day. Write that down." And I think the discussion off of that is then, of course, would he have done this a couple years ago? And what does this say about his confidence that he's, I mean, look, we saw the interception. Clearly, that was not what he wanted to do. But the fact that he so openly was like, let everybody know that's not what I want. And that ability to emphasize almost a weakness, I think, does show a confidence in his own abilities to get better and his own confidence and comfort within the structure of the team that is worthy of discussion on some level.
I think that a guy looking over his shoulder, worried if it's his starting job or not, you know, that is a bad performance away from being picked, or a bad pick away from being benched, rather. Now, those types of guys, they can't say that. But right. When you're a $24 million man and it's your operation, for better or worse, when you're essentially committed and you stand up there and you kiss the bride, you get to say stuff like that. And I think that's what that, to me, that's what I take away from that.
Yeah, I think the word that we should use that is probably the best is security, right? Like, he's secure in his own job. If he's insecure in that job, maybe he kind of has a mental panic, walks past that group of reporters and goes, it's practice. I was just trying to see what would happen. They just should brush it off. No, he owned the mistake, and not just that particular mistake, but owned the day where it wasn't an awful day by any means. He had a couple of really nice balls, some anticipation throws, all the things that you'd want to see, and especially to guys like Doxson and Pryor, who he's still just a week into throwing to as new weapons, you know, not counting whatever little bit of work Doxson got in last season, but essentially two brand new weapons. And so that stuff is really encouraging, but he did have a couple of mishits, one or two miscommunications that I can remember. And then obviously the major mistake of the pick and the 2 minute drill there, the end practice, and to own not just that mistake, but the entire day of not being great, I think does show the security he has. And remember last year, there were murmurs and I mean, Grant, you specifically have such a great relationship with him. I think you could probably speak to this better than I do. And Danny, obviously you as well, having him on the show every week. There was times where you look at the tape and you go, man, I wonder if that is a guy who maybe doesn't throw that deep ball because he's scared about his future and doesn't have that long-term commitment. And I don't know whether that criticism is valid or not because I'm not inside Kirk's head, but I do know there were some balls last year that I wish he would have thrown to DeSean Jackson or whoever else deep that I would like to see more chances taken this year. And if he's secure in his job and his future and his resume and his ability to get a deal next year, no matter what that deal is, I think he, you know, whatever subconscious reservation he might have about making that kind of throw is gone. Does that turn into red zone interceptions? Lord, we hope not. But to take a few more chances in the field of play over the course of games in the right situations, I think would be a positive step in an area where he could improve this season.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter, give him a follow if you care about the Redskins. Hoff, we're a week away now, for less than a week really, from the first preseason game next Thursday night. How much is going to get installed? stalled this week? How are they sort of ramping up? How are they approaching this first game? Is it like 10, you know, 10 plays maybe for some of the starters? Is it more? Is it less? How is it going to be played?
I'd be stunned if Cousins plays at all, and most of the new guys play at all. And then I actually wouldn't be surprised if, like, Colt McCoy doesn't play a whole lot either. I think this might be similar to what we saw last night in the Hall of Fame game where, you know, it's the Kellen Moore show in Dallas. We might get the Nate Sudfeld show, which what could possibly be more exciting than that? I think the first week of practice was a lot scripted. I know that the first week of practice was very, very scripted. So I think over the next week, what you'll see is some more unscripted, some more, and part of this is practice for Jay, who hasn't called plays in a couple of years, to get himself in some situations where he's got to think on his feet, and depending on how the outcome of a play goes in a particular series of plays in practice, he's got to make a call. And so I think that's some of what you'll start to see this week in practice is some more game-like situations where everything is not scripted. So, for instance, this week, let's say they complete a pass on quote-unquote first and 10 for 8 yards. Well, the script said it's now second and 8. So it's second and 8. This week it'll be second and 2, and now Jay and Kirk and everybody's got to think in that game situation, put their mind in that situation. And does that happen Thursday in Baltimore? Probably not. But I do think that that is kind of the difference in practice in week 2 versus week 1.
How much time has been spent talking with Greg Minuski as a media corps? What differences are there schematically from he and Joe Barry?
In the couple of days that I've been here, obviously splitting with the Rooster, I haven't talked to Greg yet, and there hasn't been a media availability yet for him when I have been here. And now there may have been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I haven't seen a lot of quotes from him. Luckily, I've been able to talk to some of the assistants, some of the players, though. And so to me, the biggest change with everything that I've been told is this defense is going to be a lot more reactive. It's going to be a lot more instinct-based, which I think is good for the players that are out there from everyone. From the newer additions, DJ Swearinger and Sua Cravens, in a way, is a new addition because he's changing positions. Zach Brown is an instinctual guy. And I think the way that Comp and Foster in the middle understand the game and understand defense as an 11-man, you know, pursuit, I think it's really beneficial to a lot of these guys' skill sets. And not to mention Josh Norman on the outside, perhaps the best instinctual corner in football. And so last year was very assignment-driven. It was, you are supposed to be here. And do not move out of your gap. And this year, they have the freedom to kind of play off of each other a little bit. And Jim Tomsula has a pretty significant impact on this as well, where specifically watching stuff against the run, the front seven's watching film together and has been all off season during the OTA periods when they would have meetings and such. They would watch film together. And so Minuski would be coaching up as the DC, and then Tomsula would step in and say, hey, defense or linebackers, here's what my guys are doing. Here's what they're doing. Here's why they're doing it. So you know, and you can play off of that. And I think that is a much, much better plan for success, because while Joe Barry's scheme works on paper, you're in the A gap, you're in the B gap, you're in the C gap, you're in the D gap. The reality is there's 11 guys on offense trying to prevent you from getting there. And if you can't adjust in the middle of a play, like that's not really going to work. And obviously it hasn't worked the past couple of years, which is why Joe is coaching linebackers in LA now.
Craig, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. We will talk soon.
Sounds good, boys. Talk to you.
Craig Hoffman in Richmond. He and Chris Russell covering the Redskins training camp festivities for us day in and day out. And we get you closer to the team than anybody with good access here on The Fan. Your double play today on a Friday at 11:45 will be winning off the field. At that time, we're going to figure out what's going right. A little teeny tiny mini moral victory in your day. Next, though, the latest on McGregor Mayweather. We got issues in Conor McGregor's camp. Could this thing be going off the rails? You're listening to The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.